they parted when they were 17 and did not meet again for years. Humphrey went into the navy as he had planned, and Jonathan, with mallet and chisel in hand and with that sober, earnest air that always clung to him, was already at work in his father's shipyard. In time he became master of the entire business. While Humphrey was scouring the seas, sailing on just those far voyages of which he had so often dreamed. Jonathan had his dreams also, but he did not speak of them, only toiled away at building the heavy, sturdy vessels that carried America's trade overseas early in the last century. Honest ships they were, and reliable, as sure of coming to port as though they had belonged to the age of steam, but oh, how long it took them to make a voyage! When alone in his dingy little office, Jonathan, with the door fastened, would push aside the pile of plans and drawings, and would get out the model of a strange vessel, sharp, slender, and graceful, with a hull like a racing yacht. He would set it upon the bench to carve a little here, to alter a curve by a hair's breadth there, or merely to stand staring at it sometimes for hours at a time, staring and thinking. One day, when he was standing, utterly lost in his thoughts, there came a knock at the door, followed quickly by a second one and a third, all during the moment that it took the shipmaster to put out of sight his beloved model. When the door was opened, there strode in a tall, sunburned person in blue uniform. It was Captain Humphrey Reynolds, come at last to see his old comrade, bringing a roll of government papers under his arm.